and welcome to the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WJR Radio. Mike O'Hara, Lions aficionado, on the line with us today. Hello, Mike.
Hello. Hey, two straight weeks I'm an aficionado.
Yeah, aficionado, that's right.
Aficionado.
That's right, two straight weeks. There's no Nick Ryder today. Nick is on assignment, but he'll be back next week with us to give his expertise on the Detroit Lions. But Mike O'Hara, I don't know how to begin today. I've been thinking about this, and usually we do these on Monday. I think we're going to go back to doing them on Monday, but I had to take an extra day after the loss to gather my thoughts, look over some tape, talk to some people to find out exactly. I didn't want to rush into Monday after a loss, you know, with emotions on the line. I wanted to now take a step back. So I took a step back from Detroit's 20-16 loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. My first thoughts are you cannot give away home games. And that's the one thing I was upset about, and I will still be upset about that. You got to win your home game. Really, you should run the table at home games. I think Dallas up until Sunday had won like 16 straight home games, whatever, and they don't lose at home. And the Lions, they got to win. They got 9 home games this year. They got to at least win 7 to me, but 8 would have been perfect and 9 would have been great.
Well, how about just starting off with 2 in a row to start the season would have been good, okay? The opening day, opening game against the Rams and then coming back a week later to win again.
Yeah, and I don't know where to take the Rams game now, considering the way the Rams got manhandled by Arizona Cardinals. I don't know now how to take that first game. Was that game the Rams were good then and their little engine now weren't any good this weekend? Or is it that the Lions aren't as good as we thought they were at this present time?
Well, to me, it's immaterial. They played them, they beat them, and it's really not the same team in week two for the Rams that it was in week one with all the injuries. I mean, it's whatever they, you know, injuries that hurt them in the opener, hurt the Rams in the opener, it's doubled and tripled in the second game of the season. And look, the Lions did a good thing. They put them away. There was a drive to send the game into overtime with a field goal and then win it. He was at 8-9 plays. They ran one pass and 8 runs and ran it right down their throat. So I would not apologize for beating the Rams in the open.
Well, I'm not going to apologize for it, but since the Lions went up 17-3 against the Rams, I have not been impressed with the offense the last 6 quarters. I have not been impressed with the offense the last 6 quarters.
Well, in that regard, I think that is what you're saying is accurate. And you know, Kenny, last year, you know, the Lions were coming off a 9-8 season, and you know they were alive, and they had a flair with the way they played offense last year, the way they came out. And even though they you know, and just like this year, they were 1-1 after 2 games, but they were scoring big, and fans love that. I think the teams love it too. I think they like it. And this year, it's been more of a struggle to score. I think that's the big difference.
Well, this is what hurts the most. Now, we've been through years, Mike, you've seen them all, where the Lions didn't have good offensive teams. They struggled to score, but they also struggled to just get, you know, yardage and points, yardage. This team is throwing yards up. There's no problem, you know, marching between the 20s. They had 400 and some yards offense this last game.
Right.
But the
right.
Points is what the problem is. And when you go, what were they, 2-for-7, 2-for-7, or 1-for-7 in the red zone, 2-for-7?
1-for-7 in the red zone.
You can't win. But the one factor when you say 1-for-7 in the red zone, which is terrible, you got to say they were in the red zone 7 times. That's good. You know, I think Tampa Bay was, 2-for-4? It was a small amount of times even being in the red zone. So for the most part, they're going, between the 20s. They just got to finish better. And to me, that's more of execution and play calling and coaching. That's, to me, what needs to be tightened up.
Yeah, well, let me ask you this, though, and I agree with what you're saying, but can you look back on what the Lions did last year and what they did the year before in the second half of the season and say to yourself, okay, I think they'll work it out?
Well, if you remember last year early, they had a big scoring game against Seattle that went in overtime and they lost, right?
Right.
Okay, but you got to remember, they were behind in that game, so they had to, you know, just throw everything on the ceiling to get back in that game, if my memory is correct. Because I think that was a game Goff threw a pick six or whatever. So they were battling all uphill. the Atlanta game, the game after that, they only scored 20 points or something. They didn't score a lot of points that game either. And the first game, Kansas City, they only scored 20 points or 21 points. So
21 points.
Yeah, so they didn't score early last season either, if you look at it, besides, like I said, that game where they were behind with Seattle. They were behind that game the whole game. So my point is, I think the offense is the same now as last year, except for they're just not getting across the end zone. And that's got to be changed. And there's a couple things I think the reason why they're not. Plus, team, you got to remember, the two opponents, these first two opponents are tougher than last year's first two opponents. You got two playoff teams this year. Last year, you had one playoff team. I don't think Seattle made the playoffs.
Had one, but you also had one Super Bowl champion. So I think that kind of balances the books in that regard.
But to me, again, I say to me, but I'm not as worried about the future of what's going to happen as long as there's no injuries. I'm just saying at this present time, they're just not in sync. But they're grinding the yards out, Mike.
No. Look, I'm with you on this. I agree with you. You can go up and down. They pay off. They pay off in putting points on the board, not yards. I mean, listen. Generally, you have to have yards to score. It's just one.
I think that one goes with the other, right?
Yeah, it goes with the other. And I think the Lions will score again. They'll score and score again. But I want to see it.
Yeah, I don't see it too. Now, the only thing missing from last year's is two different things from last year's offense to this year's offense. One is, I think they're incorporating Jamison Williams in more. That's going to take time to find the happy medium between, the passing, the running, and getting everybody into the mix. Because right now, LaPorta's kind of out of the mix. And I heard Dan Campbell talk on an interview he did on the radio, and he said they didn't really game plan LaPorta early because he had been injured all camp, and they wasn't sure if he'd be, how he would go early in the season, the first game. So they didn't make a big point of getting him the ball that game, because if he didn't play or couldn't play a lot, then it would have been a waste of time with the game plan. That's basically what he said, which makes sense because he didn't – remember, he was hurt off training camp. So, but you're incorporating Jameis Williams in this year. You didn't have to do that years before, and you want to find out where he fits in the offense. They're figuring that out, and then the St. Brown thing, he didn't get a lot of catches the first game. 19 – they went to him 19 times this last – game. So they're trying to figure out the happy balance, and that's going to take time. But while they're trying to figure this out, I think they should be running the ball more. That's my only point.
Well, I don't know if they've run the ball enough or not. I really don't. I think they have the capacity, and I think they have the players, and then I think they have the mentality to do it and do it in a big way. But the National Football League is still a quarterback's game. It really is. And you can't just say, okay, now we're going to run it, and that, because they've got too many high-powered players in the passing game to put that on the shelf. And I know you're not saying that, but I just think there's a balance in there somewhere, and I think we're going to find it. And I would hope we're going to find it here pretty soon.
I don't want Jared Goff throwing 55 times in a game.
I don't think he wants to either.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And Campbell also said in his interview that he thought Jared's trying to put too much on his own shoulder a little bit. And that was a quote. He said, "I think he's trying to do too much," and he's got to back off on that a little bit. You got all those weapons out there, Mike. It's like the '90s. I think the '95 Lions or '96, whatever that team was, that had the 3,000-yard receivers, 1,500-yard rusher, and whatever. Just a bunch of weapons out there. And Scott Mitchell just had to be the assist guy, the point guard. And that's what Jared Goff has to be. Just be the point guard. Jared made some good throws Sunday. Everybody's talking about how bad he played and where, which he didn't play great. But I thought he made some good throws in there, so I'm not too much worried about him. And, I'm not the president of the Jared Goff fan club. We all know this by now. But I'll give him credit where credit is due. I think he'll get better as we go on.
Yeah, but Kenny, let's look at the other side of it, too, though, the offense. I thought the defense played
well.
Really,
we're
going
to get
really
to the defense. We're going to get to the defense.
Okay. I just wanted to interrupt that one.
Well, get your offense in. We'll get to the defense.
Okay.
Go ahead. You finished with your offense.
No, go ahead. No, that's okay. Go ahead.
Okay. One problem they're going to have on offense this year, and I don't know if you believe this or not, tell me if I'm crazy. The splitting of duties between Gibbs and Montgomery. I mean, you got to get them both in the game, But it's just that's going to be a balancing act all year, when to pull one, when to put the other one in, because they're both so good. They're both so good. But there are times where, oh, I wish Montgomery would be in now, but it's Gibbs doing it. And then there's times where, man, I wish Gibbs would have got that run because he'd have broke it and been gone. That's always going to be a problem, Jen. It's a good problem to have. And don't say I'm upset about it, but it's just, you know what I'm saying, Mike? Sometimes you eating chocolate and you're like, man, I need some strawberry. Then you get the strawberry, man, I missed the chocolate. So, you know, you don't know which one to do, and you're happy with either one of them. But I wish they could play together. I don't know how they can do it. But
well, they do that. Like they do that a little bit. There was some, you know, there were some plays Sunday where they had Gibbs, you know, split wide, and Montgomery, you know, in the backfield. So I think you can do it, but you've got to be careful on how much you do it. You can't overdo it.
You can't overdo it. So that's the only problem again. But like I said, I'm not worried about the offense, and I'm not. I didn't think the Lions were going 18-0, so I'm not, you know, going to be sitting here.
You didn't.
17-0, and then. You know, postseason. I didn't think they were going to run the table. But yeah, I did think they were going to win. After, if they won the first game, I thought they were going to win the first eight. So, but now I'm wrong. So, they have to make a change on it. There's been a lot of upsets in the league, though. So, it's not like the Lions were the only team that was upset like that. They're, like last night, the Atlanta-Philadelphia game, you know, I had Philly winning by a walk. And Atlanta comes back and beats them. And it wasn't, they're not that impressive, but they won the game. So, they're going to be upsets to go on in this league.
Yeah, and a dropped pass is what cost Philadelphia.
Well, another bad coaching thing, too. That dropped pass, shouldn't you have just ran the ball?
Could have.
Not could have, should have ran the ball.
I think what they ran was fine. All he had to do was hang onto the ball.
But he's not a good receiver. He's not a good receiver. Look at his name. He drops a lot of passes. He's, well, anyway, we're not getting into – this ain't Philly radio. So we'll let that go.
We're taking the pressure off the Lions for a minute.
Yeah, and there's no, it shouldn't be any pressure on the Lions, but there is. Offensive line, to me, also isn't playing its greatest right now, especially in the inside. I think they've been getting pushed around a little bit in the inside. Maybe it's just they need to more reps or whatever, and maybe it's because he's throwing a lot and they get to do it, but I expect more out of that offensive line.
I think they're I would part company here. I think they're fine. I don't think there are any issues. And look, Frank Ragnow missed a block on one play
and a holding
resulted in and lost. Yeah, it happens, especially when you throw as much as the Lions do. 55 throws, you're going to get penalties.
Right.
Part of the deal.
Right. Okay. Another thing before we get to the defense, the inactive list is. I still have a problem that Corey Sorsdale is inactive every week. Mike, he's supposed to be your sixth lineman. Especially this year.
He
was last year, and he's been active both games. I don't know what's that saying. You knew he was going to be inactive this year most of the time because he's coming from Canada and he's, you know, learning. He's got the physical tools, but he's got time to catch up mentally and, you know, with the game. So I'm not surprised with that. But I was surprised with the Scoresdale being that far down the list. And I don't know what that curtails for his future or pretends for his future. I don't know because I think after a couple of years, Mike, if you don't stake your claim in the league, they go find somebody else.
Well, we'll see. You know, it's not to his advantage to being on the bench the first two games and not being in the game. So we'll see.
Yeah. Now let's get to the defense because to me, Mike, last year the Lions were an offensive team. If this continues, as good as the offense is. By the end of the season, this may be a defensive team. Their defense, to me, is a few steps away from being an elite defense. I know everybody's acting crazy with that now, but they're good right now. They can be very good. They can be very good. I mean, when they refs start giving them credit for plays instead of calling a flag because he's a rookie on plays you make, because even on the plays he's getting called for, he's there step by step with these guys. It's just a matter of little technique things here and there. But he's a very good corner. It's only getting better. The backfield is better. Brian Branch, I wasn't sure if safety was the place for him. I thought maybe the nickel were. But to me, he's going to be in the lead safety in about – well, he's good now. He makes play. He's a man. So I'm not worried about that. But the defensive line is the key to this team. And I'm telling you right now, Mike, even with Davenport missing his usual game after a game, that defensive line is stout, and it's only getting better now that Ryder's back in. and when Davenport deems to make his next appearance. I mean, well, DJ Reader, not Ryder, Reader.
Right. Well, let's not forget Hutchinson, what he did too. That Aiden Hutchinson, that was a man's performance on Sunday. It really was.
And the reason why it happened is he's a good player, a great player. But when the other part of the line is cooking like they were, yep, he is flushing it right to him. And I'm going to tell you right now, me and you've done this over the years. We've seen, I remember last year in OTAs, the first OTA, we were out there, I think we were together, and Levi Onwuzurike, he didn't have a helmet on.
Yep.
And he was on one knee when they were doing the beginning of practice, and it was hard for him to get on one knee and get up. And I was like, man, I don't know if he's going to make the team this year. It was right after his surgery. I said, man, I wouldn't talk to him. I got an interview with him. We were just yakking about the Pac-10 and Big Ten and stuff. But we were talking, and he was a confident guy in. But, Mike, this is the player that they drafted in the second round when he came out, ahead of McNeil. McNeil was a third rounder. This is the type of talent he was now. And I don't know if he's ever going to be what he was before that back surgery, but he's damn close.
Yeah, but he's been in on a sack in each of the first two games, Kenny. And that to me shows that the guy, whatever back issues he had, and they certainly weren't minor. I mean, I don't know exactly what it was, but we know it wasn't something that was going to, you know, you could manage from day to day or whatever. But Onwuzurike, he's been in on, to me, on a sack in each of the first two games really tells me something, that he's got his versatility back, he's got his power, he's got his ability to move. And that's, you know, that and good for him. You know, he could have just, for what he endured the first, 3 years in the National Football League, he said, look, I got my money. It's enough. I just don't want it. I can't take anymore. No, he's worked at it, and he's ready. He's ready to go.
And forget about the sacks. Sacks are good. He's disruptive. I mean, they can play him down at the end, because when Davenport didn't play this week, he kind of played some of that off end. He played in the middle. He is just disruptive player, and I'm a fan of his. I don't do that often, but I am a fan of his from the struggle he's had to come back, and I've always been pulling for him, and I hope nothing but the best for him. But right now, forget about me hoping he might come back. Him, Reader, McNeil, Hutchinson, and Davenport, and you can add in whoever you want, Peck or these other guys to add in. They are I got to give the new D-line coach a part of this, too, because they said when they brought him in, he was the best D-line coach in the league. After 2 weeks, it's just noticeable.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And look, I think there's more to come from that group, too. I don't think Hutchinson's going to get four and a half sacks a game the rest of the season, anything like that. But I think he's doing what he wants to do. Number one is apply pressure. But number two, get the quarterback on the ground.
James Houston got 3 snaps last week and was inactive the first week. And 2 years ago, he was I'm just saying, this is how far you've gone from 2 years ago. He was pretty much the fifth lineman. And now he can't get on the field. That's how the talent level to me has improved in those 2 years.
Well, one thing about it, though, he wasn't on the field until the second half of the season either.
He was on the
bench. So we'll see. We'll see if there's a second half surge by him. And that doesn't look like it, but nothing points to that happening. But you never know.
Yeah.
Look, an injury could or whatever could open up an opportunity, not just for him, but for others.
Yeah. Well, they're 1-1. They're going to an Arizona team that's 1-1, but had a beatdown of the Rams this last week. Kyler Murray had a good game. I'm still not a big fan of Kyler Murray. They're going to have to contain him. This is a game where Hutchinson's going to have to control his rush, because you don't want to let him outside. I know you want to get to him, but you got to make him put him in that pocket and make him stay there. And so it'll be a different type setup, I'm sure, a different type game plan this week. But this is a big game this week, Mike. To go out on the road, you gave away one last week. I want to see the offense play better, and I want to see the defense continue doing what they're doing.
Yeah, I agree with you. And one thing more, I think Hutchinson can control their quarterback really. Look, he's a smaller guy. He's 5'10" or whatever, but he can move like probably as well as dangerously to the opposition as any quarterback in the league. But I think it's something that the Lions can handle.
Yeah, I want to see that. I want to see more DJ Reader, too. He only played, I think, 20 – how many snaps do we have here? He played 20 – Reader. He played 25 snaps, I believe. Yeah, he played 25 snaps, half the snaps of the team. For opener, I didn't think he would play that much, really, for his first game back. But he survived it. And I'll tell you right now, I saw some plays, Mike. He was collapsing that pocket. So I really expect good things out of him as long as he stays healthy.
Yeah, he's really a powerful player, and he likes it. He likes to play that way. That's a good signing. Now he's got to hold up physically, and we'll see. But they've handled since the day they signed him. They've handled him very, very carefully to be ready to play. Week one or week two, it turned out to be week two, and really just looking at him now, kind of, it looks like they got what they thought they were getting.
Right. Now, we said that they would run, we were talking the week before where the Rams ran 78 plays on the Lions, and that was going to be, oh my goodness, the Lions ran 85 plays this last week. So, like I'm saying, the offense just has to get in the end zone. Everything else is fine.
No, I agree with you. This is a team that has scored points, in the last 2 years at just at a tremendous rate, and I think they'll do it again. I haven't seen anything about them that would indicate, unless there's an injury that we don't know about or something like that, that they're not going to score. I think they're going to score, and I think they're going to score, and they're going to score big.
Yeah. Now, the big receiver role, the X receiver, I was impressed a little bit with that Tim Patrick they played. I don't know if you and when I say impressed with him, I'm talking about just his size on the field and the couple of balls he did catch. I think he caught one or two. I know for one it was out of bounds or inbounds, but I think he's just what they need for that red zone too. I think that's one thing they were missing. Yeah, he caught two passes. I thought I saw both of them. Three targets, two passes. But he's a big receiver, and just he's going to take guys down into the red zone, and you can use the corner with him. So maybe that's the one thing they're missing from Josh Reynolds that you're getting back now.
Well, we'll see. I think that you have more. I think you're higher on him than I am. Because he just hasn't. There's no record there of him being in the last three years of being a contributing wide receiver, a big wide receiver at any level. So we'll see.
He's been hurt the last 2 years. You doing my Hutchinson sack number, which I'm about to update since you dogged me last week about 17 sacks. He's averaging. He will be averaging for the year. How many is it now, Mike?
Four.
He can get 135 sacks this year. Now I think he's on pace for. But
it's about time. No, he's a tremendous player. I when he came out in the draft, I just kind of wondered, why he wasn't, first overall.
You can go ahead and say it. He went to Michigan, and you had doubts.
I didn't have any doubts about Michigan.
You had doubts because he went to Michigan. You had doubts, which is fair. But I tell you what, I bet there's a GM in Jacksonville now kicking himself in the head.
Absolutely.
I guarantee you that.
Absolutely.
If he gets fired, that's going to be the first thing on the article where they write why he got fired. He missed on players like Aiden Hutchinson.
Well, interesting you should bring that up, and this doesn't pertain to the Lions at all, but there's already rumbles around the National Football League about coaches' jobs in jeopardy. I mean, 2 weeks, Kenny? 2 weeks?
Whose job is in jeopardy?
Well, I don't get into it, but I was listening to it on radio in the morning and all that. And I just don't get it,
Well, you know how it is. Everybody's got to say something. But, the football is not like baseball, the sports. You really can't fire a head coach mid-season. It just doesn't work out. I mean,
it's going to make your problem worse now.
Yeah, it doesn't work out. Once you start the season, you pretty much got to, unless there's a mutiny on the team, you just got to go through it, man, and just deal with it. And then you make your choices after the year. But, after 2 weeks, that's ridiculous. I mean, I tell you, we'll talk about that another time. There's always one job where there's a perennial coach watch on, and that's the Cowboys. Like I said, it's always a perennial, the coach is about to get fired wise, so we'll see. Anyway.
It's the same coach for 4 or 5 years.
Right, he's coming back. But, Dak got his money, and then they got blew out. That's not a good sign. That's not a good sign. So we'll deal with it. Anyway, Mike, we'll do our prediction at the end of the week. We'll do one Friday for the Arizona Lions game. But calm down, people. There's nothing to see here. The Lions are going to be okay. They just need to tighten a few things up. Oh, we didn't even talk about the big thing, too. I didn't want to bring it up, but I guess we do before the podcast ends. The 3 points at the end of the game, I mean, end of the half, and Campbell admitting that he cost him the game, which I don't think he did, but he took blame for it. I was at the game. I saw everybody running on the field, but I didn't know why, because there was no way in the world you were going to get that field goal off, even if they tried to kick without downing the ball. And they had time to down the ball, so somebody just inadvertently made the call, whatever the call was, to get out there. And it was wrong, and Campbell takes the heat for it, but I don't think it was Campbell.
No, I don't think so either. You know, when I saw it, got everything sorted out. And I was watching the game on television. I just didn't think that a head coach would blurt that out. I can't imagine it.
No, and the head coach doesn't blurt it out anyway. It's usually the coordinator blurts it out. But, Mike, so many guys ran on the field. It was a definitive call from the sideline to go out. And that's what I'm saying, that he's taking the heat for somebody else. And once they went about 15 feet out, they realized they saw Goff running toward the line to spike. They couldn't get off fast enough. I was like, nah, that's not going to work. But that three points ended up changing the whole game around, which it did. But then again, there was a play in the fourth quarter. I thought he should have kicked a 48-yarder or tried it. And that would have put him down three, and he went for it on fourth down, I believe, and they didn't get it. He punted. He punted down to the 10, which he held him in. But I think I would have kicked the field goal there. I would have tried it. You got the big leg. You got big leg base.
But the strategy worked. I mean,
the strategy worked totally, but I think I would have went for the – what'd you bring a big leg kicker in for if you're not going to use him on times like that?
Well, you have a big leg punter too.
True, but that 3 points would have made it 2019, and then the next three series you got the ball. All you needed was a field goal.
It's too much math for me. I'll pass.
All right, Mike, so we'll talk again Friday about the Arizona game. Final thoughts before we get out of here?
No, you know what? What is Aaron Rodgers once said four, five, 6 years ago, RELAX.
Yes.
Relax, guys, and you know what? Watch the Tigers for a while, too.
That's exactly right. Get into the Tigers this week. If you just can't passion your energy anywhere else, put it on the Tigers, because the Lions only play once a week. So it's no sense of you running around for 6 days worrying until the next game. Go do something else. And I agree. Go Tigers. Game and a half out at the present time. And by the weekend, who knows? They may be in that spot. So we'll see.
Absolutely.
All right. That's Michael here and Ken Brown from WJR. And Alex Anzalone was on yesterday. If you guys didn't hear him, he's on Monday at 4:30. He explained his whole concussion thing and what happened yesterday. It was a great listen. I have to go up on the website. I'm sure we have a copy of it. Very informative. The whole way protocols going, everything, it was great. Listen to that, and we'll be back again next week and Friday on the K&M Podcast.